Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning. We're glad to have you listening to the program this morning. I'm Brent Ciotta. Lord willing, Steve Klein will be back on the program next Sunday. But glad to have you tuned in and listening. We invite you to study and worship with the church at Eastside this morning. We meet at 10 a.m. this morning. As Steve notes, we'll be social distancing and wearing masks, but we meet at 110 French Way here in Athens, Alabama, 110 French Way. Invite you out this morning at 10 a.m. to worship and study with the church at Eastside. You know, in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua in the Old Testament there, he was speaking to Israel. They had taken the land of Canaan, and he was encouraging Israel to fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Joshua 24:14. Serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. You know, do what the Lord wants. Do it the right way. Do it with your heart. Serve the Lord. Why serve God? I'd like you to give you some incentive this morning. Give myself some incentive. Give us all some incentive to serve God, as Joshua said, in sincerity and in truth. You know, there may be 1,000 reasons as we read through the Bible. It's just 1,000 different things that God tells us that gives us a reason, gives us incentive to serve Him. I've got about 25 written down here. First reason I think about to serve God is because Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. In John 3:16, there's that famous passage, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave Jesus to die for us. He loves us. That's a reason to serve God. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15 tell us that the love of Christ constrains us. He said, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Jesus died for you and I. That's a reason to serve Him, because He loves us. On the flip side of that, we ought to serve God out of love for Him. In Philippians 3:19, Paul, even weeping, talks about some who are enemies of the cross of Christ. He said they serve their own belly. Their belly is their God, you know, just doing what they want to do, serving themselves. But rather in John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll do what I say. We ought to serve God out of love for Him. Another reason to serve God is out of a desire for acceptance by God. You know, you may hear someone about someone who's in a gang, and, you know, they do these atrocious things, and they're wanting acceptance within this gang. Well, we ought to want a desire acceptance by God, but how are we going to get that acceptance? Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, as Peter was talking to this centurion, this man named Cornelius, and his whole household, he said, God's no respecter of persons. God doesn't care what nation you're from. He doesn't care about the color of your skin, male or female, whatever. He doesn't care about those kind of things. But here's what He does care about. He said, in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. We want to be accepted by God. We have that desire for God to accept us. Well, fear Him and work righteousness. Just like Joshua said long ago, serve Him in sincerity and truth. And it's a done deal. You know, God will accept you. You fear Him, work righteousness, you will be accepted by God. That's what Peter is saying here in Acts 10. Another reason to serve God, it is out of a desire to please Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul is giving us an illustration. Here's someone who's a soldier. He's wanting to please his commander. And so he doesn't get all involved in the world, do whatever he wants to do. Why? He's out to please the one that chose him to be a soldier. Well, in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, as a soldier in the Lord's army, you're out to what? You're out to please him, please God. In John 8, verse 29, Jesus said, I always do the things that please him. That ought to be our aim, to be like our master and please God. Another reason to serve God is because God will be with us. The Lord will be with us when we're with him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, as King David was talking to his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9, he said, serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of you, found of thee. So, serve God with a willing heart, willing mind. You'll find God. Serve him, and he'll be with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The writer there in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, encourages us, don't be covetous. Content with what you have. You know, serve the Lord contently. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. I'm not going to leave. I'll be with you. A reason to serve God is because the Lord will be with us. Another reason to serve God would be to stay in God's hand. In John chapter 10, to have that protection from God, you know, some would use this passage here in John chapter 10 as an attempt to show once saved, always saved. I don't believe that doctrine is true. And this passage actually shows the direct opposite. No, he says here in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, the ones that hear Jesus' voice and that follow him, not just do what they want to do, not just do any old thing with some kind of a false assurance that they're going to be saved no matter what. No, they follow him, hear him. He says, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We want the assurance of staying in God's hand. Hear him and follow him. Serve the Lord, and you'll be in God's hand. Another reason, reason number seven I have, is for the Lord to hear us. Another reason to serve God, follow him, do what he says, is so that God will hear us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We want the Lord to hear us when we bow down and pray to him. We want him to hear us. Now, of course, he audibly knows what everyone is doing. He sees what everyone's doing. But you want God to listen to you? Do I want God to listen to me? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Do what the Lord wants. Serve God. As Joshua would say, serve him in sincerity and in truth. You know, seek him, as King David said. The Lord will hear us. Another reason to serve God is to receive benefit from suffering. You know, in this world, we've got tribulation. You're not going to get out of this world without tribulation. You're going to have problems. But you want a benefit? After the problems, you want to benefit? Well, here in 1 Peter 4, verse 19, let them that suffer, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Keep on doing well. Keep on serving God. Commit your soul to him as unto a faithful creator. You know, God is in control. The devil's not. God is in control. He's a faithful creator. We can commit our soul unto him. He sees us. And just as James tells us in James chapter 5 and verse 11, he gives an example of Job. You remember Job in the Old Testament? He lost all that he had because of Satan. God allowed it, but Satan did it. And he says, the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy. So the Lord knows what's going on, and he'll reward. Want to receive a benefit from suffering? The Lord's full of mercy. He's full of pity. He's a faithful creator. We'll receive benefit in suffering if we serve God. Another reason to serve God, I see in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through the end of the chapter, Matthew 5, 44 through the end, is to be like God. You know, you may see a little boy, a little girl, and they, you know, see this little guy walking around in his dad's shoes, you know, just clogging around, or maybe a little girl putting on her mom's makeup, you know, or this big long flowing dress or something like that, wanting to be like them. Well, we ought to desire to be like God. How are we going to do that? Serve Him. Do what He says. And this is a tall order, but here Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Why would one love his enemy, bless those that curse them, do good to those that hate them, pray for those which use us and persecute us? Why would we do that? Well, he says in verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. You want to be like God? Well, do what He says. You will be like Him. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that use you and persecute you, that you may be like, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 48, be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You want to be like God? Serve Him. Do just what He would do. God, He says in this context, He sends the rain. He does good for those, the evil and the just. Doesn't matter. God is merciful to His creation. He blesses us. Serve God, to be like Him. Another reason to serve God is out of love for the truth. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, Paul describes some who did not have a love for the truth, and they'll see these delusions, they'll believe a lie, that they would not be saved. You want to be saved? Have a love for the truth. It'll keep you from deception. Love the truth. Do what the Lord wants. Love the truth. In John 18, verse 37, Jesus said He came to bear witness unto the truth. He said, those that are of the truth hear His voice. You know, you may see some kids playing, and they, you know, one whispers to another, you know, whose side are you on? You know, whose side are we on? Are we of the truth? Do we love the truth? We'll listen to Jesus' voice. A reason to serve God and do what He wants is because we love the truth. We don't want to be deceived. We want to be saved. We love the truth. Another reason, number 11, I have written down here, is to be Jesus' disciple, to be truly His disciple. In John 8, in verse 31 and 32, John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said, if you continue in My word, keep on doing what I say, serve Me. If you continue My word, then are you My disciples indeed. You're truly Jesus' disciple if, just in name only, you claim to be a disciple. No, you continue in His word. Serve Him. You'll truly be His disciple. And what are the blessings from that? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Verse 32. Another reason to serve God is so that we can be forgiven. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, 1 John 1, 7 through 9, if we walk in the light, if we do what's right, if we serve Him, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Here again, in this context, in verse 9, He says, confess your sins. You know, forgiveness of sin is conditional. It's not just some kind of automatic thing. You know, you become a Christian, you're automatically forgiven. No, you confess your sins. And also, like in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, remember Simon the sorcerer? Once was a sorcerer. He became a Christian. He was a new Christian, a new convert. And he sinned. What did Peter tell him? Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Turn from your sins. That's a condition. Confess your sins. That's a condition. Walk in the light. That's a condition for forgiveness. Why serve God? Why walk in the light? So that we can be forgiven of sin. Another reason to serve God is so that we can be saved. You know, once saved, always saved is not so. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 tell us, you know, Jesus learned obedience. He suffered. He learned obedience. He became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. You know, we ought to serve God. We ought to obey the Lord so that we can be saved. That's what he's saying there in Hebrews 5. He's the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, James here in verse 14 shows that it's not just a matter of faith only. Now, the Methodist discipline, they may describe faith only as being a most wholesome doctrine and full of comfort, but that's not so. Here in James 2, verse 14, James asks a rhetorical question. A man say he has faith, have not works. Can faith save him? Want to be saved? We'll have faith and works. Works will go along with our faith. It's not faith only. If a man say he has faith, and have not works, can faith save him? Of course not. Faith and works points to salvation. You want to be saved? It'll involve works. And James, we don't have time to go into the context here, but James, here in James 2, verse 14 through verse 26, he gives five illustrations to show that faith without works is dead. It does not profit. No, you got to have faith and works to be saved. James 2, verse 14. Another reason to serve God is out of respect for God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, Hebrews 12, verse 9, you know, we've had earthly fathers, the Hebrew writer says. We did them reverence. We obeyed our earthly father. We ought to obey the Father of spirits so that we can live. And he says in verse 28, Hebrews 12, 28, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We ought to have reverence and respect toward our Lord, toward our Heavenly Father. We ought to serve Him out of respect for the Father of spirits so that we can live. Another reason to serve God, number 15 I've got here, is because He is the Lord our God. I heard a lesson a long time ago out at Sunny Hill, the church at Sunny Hill. Greg Chandler gave a lesson, and he is making a point from Leviticus. Leviticus chapters 18 through like chapter 26, over and over and over again, the Lord there is talking to Israel, his people, the Old Testament children of Israel, and he's instructing them to walk in his ways and do this or do that. He said, "For I am the Lord your God." Over and over and over again, he'll repeat that phrase, "For I am the Lord your God. Serve me. Do this because I'm God. I'm the Lord your God." We ought to serve God because He is Creator. He's God. He's Lord. Why would we do, Luke 6, verse 46, why would we do, call Jesus Lord and not do the things that He says? That would not be consistent. We ought to serve God because He is the Lord our God. Another reason to serve God is because He's worthy of our service. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, there were these 24 elders, these heavenly beings, and they took their crowns and they threw them down before the Lord, saying in verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things." Your Creator, You made everything. And they cast their crowns down before God because He's worthy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29, the writer there talks about giving God the glory that is due His name. Why serve God? Because He's Creator. He's worthy of our service. He's worthy of service. Another reason to serve God is out of duty. And again, there may be 1,000 reasons to serve God. I've got a number of them written down here. Maybe many facets, many, many types of incentive that God gives us. One is duty. Now, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, is this passage true or is this passage false? I believe it's true. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the bottom line? Fear God and keep His commandments, serve Him. Do what He says. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole, this is the bottom line. This is where it's at. Fear God. Do what he says. This is the whole of man. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, Luke 17 and verse 10, Jesus said there, let me just turn over there. Luke 17 verse 10, it's escaping me, some of the words in that passage. Luke 17 verse 10. He says, so likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, what? Man, look how great we are. No, not at all. When you've done everything that the Lord told you to do, when you served him, boast about it, be proud about it? Of course not. Say, we're unprofitable servants. Man, we're worthless. Why? We've done that which was our duty to do. No doubt about it. We ought to love the Lord because of what he's done for us. We ought to... We desire to be saved, to be forgiven. We want to be like him. We want him to hear us, but we ought to serve him out of duty. We're unprofitable servants when we do what our Lord commands, but it is our duty to have done those things. That's a reason. That's one of the many reasons. Another reason to serve him is out of fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, I understand, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, perfect love casts out fear. You know, we're not timid when we have perfect love. When we're doing what the Lord wants, we're not timid toward God. You know, you think about a policeman. You know, you look around. There's a policeman. Well, are you fearful? Are you timid? Not if you're doing what's right. You know, it'd be a neat thing, wouldn't it, be if we everywhere we drove had a police escort. We're not afraid when we're doing what's right. You know, I knew someone who. Man, for many years, many, many years, drove without a license, drove with an expired tag. Could you imagine everywhere you look? I think everywhere you're looking over your shoulder. Man, is there a policeman there? Am I going to be caught? You know, the timidity that would come from not doing what is right? No, I understand. 1 John 4, verse 18, if you're doing what's right, no need to fear. But what if you're not? What if you're not serving the Lord? Well, look with me to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Now, I'd ask you, is this passage true? Or is Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, is it false? Don't be afraid of them that kill the body, Jesus said. And after that, there's nothing more they can do. All they can do is kill you, if man can. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which is after he hath killed, hath power to cast into Gehenna, everlasting punishment. God has the power to cast us into everlasting punishment. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. We ought to fear God. That ought to be a motivator not to turn to the right or to the left, but to do what the Lord wants us to do. Certainly, when we're doing what is right, we don't have anything to fear, but we ought to, if we're not, ought to fear him, serve him. Another reason to serve God is because of the promise of the life that now is. Now, someone may say, well, man, that sounds materialistic. Serving because of what we'll get now? Well, look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Now, ask you again, is 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, are these two inspired passages true or false? I believe they're true. In verse 7, he said, exercise yourself into godliness. Serve the Lord. Do what he wants. Why? He gives an illustration. You know, I try to do a little exercise. It's got some profit. He says bodily exercise profits little. There's some benefit to exercising. But, he says, you know, he just said, exercise yourself to godliness. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. Now, why would he say that if it didn't matter? Godliness is profitable, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Matthew 6:33. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Serve him. Do what he says. You don't have to worry about your food, your clothing. All of these things will be added unto you. There is benefit even now for serving God. That's a reason to serve him. Having promise of the life that now is. Another reason to serve God is because of this world is going to end. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, you know, some would tell us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, in this passage, he's talking about the literal heaven and literal earth. I don't have time to fully develop it and go into the context, but you just read the context here in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's talking about the literal heaven and earth, and he says that is going to burn up. Verse 10, heaven and earth and the works that are there and the works, the things that are going on in the world, not only those, but the heaven and earth themselves are going to be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. This world's going to end. Seeing then that it's going to be dissolved, what his incentive? What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, your way of life and godliness? You ought to serve God because this world is going to end. This isn't all there is. It's going to end. Number 21, judgment. Of course, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, after we die, after that's the judgment. Not necessarily at the point of death, but after death is the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. But in Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul describes a day of judgment. He wants all men to repent, to turn away from sin, turn toward God. Why? He's appointed a day of judgment. He'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He gave assurance unto all men that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He raised him from the dead. He's going to judge the world. That's a reason to turn and serve him. To be victorious, another reason. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the book of Revelation talks about overcoming, or as the New International might say, to be victorious, or the ESV would say to conquer. Well, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to him that overcomes, to him that's victorious, I'll grant to sit with me in my Father in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. We want to be victorious, serve God. Another reason is to be with the Lord. You know, Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, he went to prepare a place for us. But in Matthew, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, he describes walking and pleasing God and abounding in that. Keep on doing what's right, because he says in verse 17, and some would talk about a rapture. Well, we're going to be raptured. Of course, the earth is going to burn up. And then he says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You want to be with the Lord? I do. That's a reason to serve him. Well, keep on walking and pleasing God and abound in it. Keep on serving God so that we can be with him. An inheritance in heaven, number 24 that I've got. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 verses 19 and 20. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. But he says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, he's talking here to a crowd of people. He says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Serve God. Keep on doing what is right. You know, and all faithful Christians are a part of God's elect. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he's talking about being faithful and serving him, living in faith. He says there's an inheritance in heaven reserved for you. The last reason I've got is for eternal life. Romans chapter 2, verse 7, number 25 on my list. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing, doing what the Lord wants, who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for. Why are they doing that? Why would we keep on, even through persecution, why would we do that? They're seeking for glory and honor in immortality, eternal life. A reason to serve God is because a desire to go to heaven. Serve God. I want to encourage you to serve God. If you've got a question or a comment, the contact information for the elders of the church at Eastside are on the website. Steve's number's on the website, the number for the church building. He'll get back with you. Also, if you would like to study with me, 256-206-2057, 256-206-2057. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside, or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.com.